Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. If one becomes a bookworm, reading many books and scriptures, and hearing many commentaries and the instructions of many men, this will produce doubt within the heart. One cannot in this way ascertain the real goal of life. Purport. Sorry, excuse me. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.13.8, it is said, Granthan neva bhyased bahun navyakyam upayunjita. One should not read many books, nor should one try to make a profession of reciting many books, especially if one is not a devotee, especially if one is a devotee. One must give up the ambition to be a learned scholar and in this way earn a worldly reputation and financial facilities. If one diverts his attention to studying many books, he cannot fix his mind in devotional service, nor can he understand many scriptures, for they are full of grave statements and meanings. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion that those who are attracted to studying many kinds of literature concerning various subjects, especially fruitive activities and philosophical speculation, are deprived of unalloyed devotional service because of their splayed attention. Man has a general tendency towards fruitive activities, religious ritualistic ceremonies, and philosophical speculation. A living entity thus bewildered since time immemorial does not understand the real goal of life, and thus his activities in life are wasted. Innocent persons misled in this way are deprived of unalloyed Krishna bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Tapan Mishra, a vivid example of such a person. He was a learned scholar, but he could not ascertain what the goal of life is. Therefore, he was given a chance to hear from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Tapan Mishra is especially significant for persons who loiter here and there collecting books and reading none of them, thus becoming bewildered regarding the aim of life. Omagyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Veneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhanitya Nanda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So before I begin, I'd like to seek the permission of all the Vaishnavas. There are many more qualified and senior devotees who can speak today here, but I'll try to share something. Here we are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and today we're taking a trip to East Bengal, present-day Bangladesh. And here Mahaprabhu has traveled to East Bengal and he is instructing Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra is a learned scholar, but somehow or other, despite all of his studies, despite all of his investigations, he's become confused. And here, Mahaprabhu is now meeting Tapan Mishra, and he is giving him instructions as to how he can achieve the ultimate goal of life. So today we're reading a very special instruction by Mahaprabhu. But before I read this instruction again, I just want to do a little survey here. How many devotees here in the temple room have read more than 5 books since coming to Krishna consciousness? Hi, please. Okay, great. How many devotees here in the room plan in the future to read many more books? Okay, great. How many devotees here in the room have read some of the commentaries of the acharyas? You all have if you've read Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada quotes what they don't. How many of you here like to hear devotees speak on Srimad Bhagavatam? Different devotees. And how many of you in the future plan to hear more devotees speak? Okay, now let me tell you the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bahu Shastre, do not read many books. Don't shoot the messenger. Bahuvakya, do not hear instructions from many different people. Chitte Brahma Hoy, you will simply become confused. Sadhya Sadhana Shreshta Na Hoy Nischoy, in this way, by conducting yourself in this way, you will not be able to ascertain the real aim of life. Okay, end of class. Very interesting, isn't it? Normally we're told in Bhagavatam classes, normally we're told by Srila Prabhupada, read, study. My only complaint of my disciples is that they don't read my books enough. Here is Mahaprabhu saying, don't read books, many books. Don't hear from many people, you'll become confused. Is it a contradiction? Yes. Yes. Some are saying yes, some are saying no. It's not a contradiction, but it's a paradox. In Shastra, we find paradoxical statements. Statements which seem to say different things. But when we go to a deeper understanding, both can coexist together. In life, we find so many paradoxical statements. Like say, for example, if I say to you, opposites attract. Is there some truth in that? Yeah, have you experienced in your life opposites attract? So that's true. But then we find another statement, birds of the same feather flock together. True? Contradiction? Paradox. What about if I say to you, absence makes the heart grow fonder? True? But then what about if I say to you, out of sight, out of mind? True? Contradiction? Paradox. Things seem to be contradictory on the surface, but when we look a little closer, when we look a little deeper, they can be reconciled. Prabhupada on many occasions said, you must read my books. There's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to read his books. Srila Prabhupada spent a lifetime studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, from the beginning of his preaching to the final breath, was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told his devotees, print the Srimad Bhagavatam, distribute them widely, and teach everyone to read these books profusely. Srila Prabhupada knew that these were the books, and by reading these books, the world would be revolutionized. When Srila Prabhupada was coming to the West, he stopped by at Shantipur, and one person said to him, Swamiji, I heard you're going to America. Prabhupada looked at this person and said, I'm not going to America. The Bhagavatam is going to America. And I'm simply holding it. Which is such a beautiful, profound statement of humility. Yes, it's the Bhagavatam. That's what's going to create the revolution. Tadvag vishargo janataga viplavo yasmin pati shlokam advavyapi. The Bhagavatam is going to create the revolution. Prabhupada said, I'm just holding it. I'm just taking it. So yes, it's very clear. Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to read his books. And Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to hear from each other explaining Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we hear Mahaprabhu telling Tapan Mishra, don't read books, don't hear from many people, then we have to look at it a bit closer. What is actually being said here? Srila Prabhupada actually gives the answer in his purports, and that's why Srila Prabhupada's purports are so important. Prabhupada said actually, more important than the translations are my purports. And you think, like, someone who doesn't know would think, how can you say that? More important than the words of the sages, the words of Krishna, more important than that is his own words. How could you say such a thing? But the point is, if you don't have the purports, Prabhupada's personal ecstasies, then we won't actually be able to understand things in context. What Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, when he's elucidating on Mahaprabhu's instructions to Tapan Mishra, don't read many books, these are books of a certain type. Don't listen to many devotees or many people speak, these are people of a certain type. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura's commentaries, he's explaining that there are different types of Shastra. He says, there is Shastra. There is Shastra Guya. There is Shastra Guyatara. And then there is Shastra Guyatamam. Very interesting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, there are books within the Vedic canon which are known as Shastra. And they contain mainly Gyan. Then he says, there are Shastra Guya, more confidential scriptures, which contain knowledge of Gyan but give some hint of Bhakti. Then he says, higher than that, there are Shastra Guyatara. And these are scriptures which emphasize bhakti but still have some gyan inside. And then he says, there are scriptures which are Shastra Guyatamam, the most confidential. And these scriptures contain only knowledge of pure, unalloyed bhakti. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated Bhagavatam, translated Bhagavad Gita, because these are known as Shastra Guyatamam. Isn't it? Krishna says to Arjun, Sarva Guyatamam Bhuya Shrinume Paramam Bacha Istoshime Dridam Miti Tato Vakshyami Te Hitam. Beautiful. Krishna says to Arjun, now I will reveal to this knowledge most confidential. Hear these instructions, for they are for your benefit. Dehitam. So, the resolution of this paradox is, when Mahaprabhu is saying, don't read books, he's saying, don't read books which are not showing us the path to pure bhakti. When he's saying, don't listen to many speakers, he's saying, don't listen to speakers who are not professing the path of pure bhakti. Because when you listen to this kind of compromised presentation of spirituality, then your own spirituality will be stunted and your own spirituality won't grow in the most progressive and powerful way that it can. And therefore, reading and hearing is not enough. We must hear and read the right things. There are so many books being produced. You know how many books are produced every single year? How many new books are written? Want to have a guess, anyone? Millions. 1.5 million new books every single year. In all languages. All languages, yes. 1.5 million books every year. But if you read many of those books, you may not understand the goal of life. So the first point here that I wanted to raise is reading is not enough. We must read the right types of books and hear from the right types of people. And then we can ascertain the goal of life. Today, I want to spend some time discussing something else related to this. Here, Mahaprabhu is telling Tapan Mishra, if you read and you become a bookworm, you won't ascertain the goal of life. I want to give another angle to this that Srila Prabhupada talks about very often and which is contained within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even if you read Bhakti Shastra, even if you read the books translated by Srila Prabhupada, even if you read many, many of those books many, many times, you still may not ascertain the goal of life if you don't read those books in the right way. Reading is a science, even if you read the right books. And today, I'll just try to share some pastimes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita which teach us how to really enter deeply into reading these books in the proper way to get the proper benefit and the proper fruit of reading. The first thing I want to share with you is that reading without association will not bear fruit. In Jagannath Puri, there was a famous devotee. His name was Bhagavan Acharya. He was very nice. He was very beloved to Mahaprabhu. But he was a very simple-minded devotee, and many people would come to him and speak to him. And he wouldn't really discriminate so much who he heard from. So one time a Bengali poet came to Bhagavan Acharya and said, I've composed a wonderful poem about Mahaprabhu, glorifying him. Please allow me to go to Mahaprabhu and recite this poem to him. Bhagavan Acharya approached the Lord. And of course we know the convention in Jagannath Puri was that nothing could be recited in front of Mahaprabhu unless first Swarup Damodar, his personal secretary, screened it. First, you have to pass the test of Swarup Damodar, and then it can go to Mahaprabhu. So the Bengali poet came to Swarup Damodar and started reciting his beautiful poetry. Swarup Damodar, when he heard his poetry, he said, you've got it all wrong. You've said so many philosophical points. You've expressed it in so much flowery language. You seem to have made such a beautiful composition that's so pleasing to the ears. But actually, your glorification of Mahaprabhu is not actually a glorification. You've got it all wrong. And then Swarup Damodar said to him, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanta Eshraya Kare Chaitanya Charane. Swarup Damodar said to him, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane. Go to a Vaishnava, sit at his feet, and hear Bhagavatam from him. Ekanta Ashraya Kore Chaitanya Charane. Hear Bhagavatam from someone who is actually surrendered to Krishna. If you hear from such a person, then you will actually understand Bhagavatam. Otherwise, no chance. The first principle of reading Shastra is that we must read in the association of sincere, advanced devotees who are actually practicing sincere devotional service. Because if we don't read in association of such personalities, we won't be able to actually draw on what the essence of that teaching actually is. The other aspect is that if we don't read in the association of devotees, then we won't actually get blessings. And without blessings, you can have all the knowledge in the world. But if you don't have the blessings of the devotees, that knowledge won't actually penetrate your heart. One example is Karna. Karna made such a whole show in order to be instructed by Parashuram. He pretended to be a Brahmana when he was actually a Kshatriya, just so that he could get the knowledge from Parashuram. Then I won't go through the whole story, but Parashuram understood that he was lying. He's not a Brahmana, he's a Kshatriya. And then Parashuram cursed Karna. He said, "You've had so much knowledge from me, but the moment when you will need this knowledge, you will forget everything." Karna had the knowledge, but devoid of the blessings of the Vaishnavas, all that knowledge meant nothing. On the other hand, we have the example of the Goswamis. Sanatan Goswami, here we're reading, who was instructed by Mahaprabhu on multiple occasions. And at the end of being instructed by Mahaprabhu, you can see the beautiful famous painting. Sanatan Goswami goes to Mahaprabhu's feet. He fully prostrates himself in dandavats. And he says to Mahaprabhu, "Mahaprabhu, you've given me so much knowledge. Now give me your blessing so that these knowledge and these instructions that you've given me can actually take birth within my heart." So reading without association will lead to misunderstanding, and reading without association will lead to knowledge but no actual transformation, because for transformation we need the blessings of the devotees. So the first principle I want to share with you is reading must be done in the association of Vaishnavas. The second thing I want to share with you today is reading must go hand in hand with application of that knowledge. If we read so many things, if we hear so many things, but then it doesn't translate to a tangible change in our life, then actually that knowledge won't actually help us to achieve the goal of life. The prime example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of this is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was a scholar. He knew so many things. He was respected all across the region of Jagannath Puri and Orissa for his learning. Finally, when he came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu implanted him with the teachings of bhakti, then finally he realized, "Actually, I don't know anything at all." Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami comments on his situation. Kaviraj Goswami says, Shukshma taraka khali khaite janma gela yar. Tandra lila mritta piyao ei kripa tomar. Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami commenting on Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, very interesting, Shukshma taraka khali khaite. This man, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, his whole life he was eating dry cakes which have been sucked of all the oil. Ever done that? Eat a dry cake with no oil, no cream, no jam. Take one bite, take two bites, take three bites and you're suffocating. Kaviraj Goswami says, this man, all his study of all the books was like eating dry cakes which have been sucked of all the oil. But Tandra lila mritta piyao ei kripa tomar. Somehow or other, he got the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And now, ei lila mritta piyao, he's drinking the nectar. Yeah, so eat a dry cake and then drink the nectar. So somehow or other, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya knew so many things, but he didn't know about bhakti. He didn't know about how to actually apply these scriptures, how to actually engage in a loving relationship with Krishna. Later on, when he found out about bhakti and he engaged in chanting, he engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, then he became transformed. He became so happy. Isn't it? Sometimes you see so many people who have so many knowledge, but they look miserable actually. They look miserable. They know so many things, but they look miserable. One who has bhakti is happy. One time Prabhupada said, preaching is an easy business. Just show people how happy you are. That's it. That's preaching. Just show people how happy you are. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became so happy, infused with bhakti, because he actually began to apply the teachings. He couldn't stand this idea of just liberation, and he wanted to engage in devotional service. So much so that one day he came to Mahaprabhu and he recited a verse. Jive tayo mukti. Sorry. Jive tayo bhakti pade sadhaya bhak. Mahaprabhu said, come again? Jive tayo bhakti pade sadaya bhak. Say it again. Jive tayo bhakti pade sadaya. Mahaprabhu says, you're saying it wrong. You've changed the verse. Mahaprabhu said, the verse is Jive tayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I know that's the verse, but I can't stand this word mukti anymore. I can't stand to hear this word mukti. Life is all about bhakti. So I've changed the verse. Mahaprabhu, you can't change the shastra like that. He says, I know, but I can't stand this word mukti. It's all about bhakti. It's all about application. It's all about devotion. That's where the real taste is. That's where the real life is. To apply these teachings. Mahaprabhu hugged him. He said, you've understood. You got it. You finally got it. Because we have to apply these teachings. Like say for example, this is a recipe book. And I just say, here, this is a wonderful recipe book. Read it. How many times are you going to read it? Once, twice, three times? Just going to keep reading a recipe book? Or are we actually going to go into the kitchen and start cooking some recipes? And you know, if you go into the kitchen, start cooking some recipes, and it actually works, you will keep that recipe book in your kitchen for the rest of eternity. And it will have all kind of spices on it, and it will be all stained and everything. But you'll keep it, and you'll read it. Because you'll know, this is valuable, this works. If we're reading, and it's dry, and it's not affecting our hearts, and we feel no motivation to go into the books and read this wonderful knowledge, then maybe it means we're not applying it. Because if you apply this knowledge and experience the change in your life, you'll go back to the book and say, you know what, that worked. That was amazing. Maybe I need to read some more and do some more in my own life to experience more. Reading without application will not be complete. And finally, I want to share with you reading with the spirit of amplification. The moment you take these teachings and you try to amplify them in the world, you try to share them with others, you try to deliver them to as many, many people around you as you can, you discuss them with devotees, and you proliferate this spiritual knowledge in the world, as you amplify whatever you've read, the realization goes much, much deeper. The mercy descends upon us so we can actually understand the true import within the deeper realms of our consciousness. Therefore, the Kurma Brahmana was very learned, very wise. And when Mahaprabhu came to the Kurma Brahmana and visited him in Kurmastan, then finally when Mahaprabhu left, Kurma Brahmana said, I want to come with you. I want to leave everything. I want to leave my family. I want to leave my job. I don't know if he had a job, but I'm sure he did. And Mahaprabhu said to him the famous verse, Jare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agyaya guru hanatare e desh. You don't need to leave. Simply, whoever you meet, whoever you see, whoever you speak to, tell them the instructions of Krishna. In other words, don't just read Krishna's instructions, but whoever you meet and whoever you see, share those instructions, amplify those instructions, give those instructions to others. And by engaging in that, tumara badibe punar vishaya taranga punarapi e sangha pabe mora sangha. If you do that, Mahaprabhu said to the Kurma Brahmana, then the waves of material life, the difficulties of your family life will no longer affect you if you become absorbed in giving knowledge to others. In his essay entitled The Bhagavat and Its Ethics, Bhaktivedanta Thakur says that one who gains knowledge should not just put that knowledge in their heart and then imprison it in the heart just as a magistrate imprisons a criminal. A magistrate imprisons the criminal, puts him in a cell and then locks it, and then he said, don't take knowledge like that. Take it in your heart, hear so many nice things, hear so many revolutionary, life-changing things, and then just lock it in your heart. No, you must amplify those teachings, share those teachings with others, write about it, speak about it, sing about it, make poetry about it. Not like the Bengali poet of Jagannath Puri, proper poetry. Draw about it. Make an infographic about it. Make a video on YouTube about it, as some devotees do, very successfully. Amplify the teachings. As you amplify the teachings, share the teachings, Krishna makes you very wise. Because if you're going out in the world trying to make people wise, then what's Krishna going to say? This person is actually trying to deliver my teachings to help others. Let me make him wise. Let me make her wise. So that they have more capacity to actually give to others. So if we want to actually become wise, if we want to actually become realized, then Mahaprabhu's instruction stands for all times. Share and amplify these teachings with others. So reading is not sufficient. If we read with association, number one. If we read with application, number two. And if we read with a spirit of amplification, number three. Then what will happen? We can read with absorption. We want to read with absorption. We want to actually enter into this world of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, Shruyatam shruyatam nityam giyatam giyatam muda chintyatam chintyatam bhaktas Chaitanya Charitamritam. He says, all the time just hear Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the time just think about Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the time drink the nectar of these pastimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when you hear him, you think, this person is living in the world of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's living in this world. These books offer us an opportunity to live in Krishna's world. These books, if we read with absorption, allow us entrance into a completely different reality. But in order to get that kind of absorption, we have to read in association, with application, with a spirit of amplification. Srinivasacharya went to meet Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Somehow or other, when he arrived at Jagannath Puri, just before he arrived, he got the news. Mahaprabhu has left the world. You think like, oh, Krishna. Mahaprabhu has left the world. Just too late. Sometimes we think, you know, just miss Srila Prabhupada. Just missed him. What would it have been like to see Srila Prabhupada? Srinivasacharya just missed Mahaprabhu. Then he got the instruction, go to Gadadhar Pandit and hear Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. So he came to Gadadhar Pandit. He said, I've been told to hear Bhagavatam from you. Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, here's my Bhagavatam. So he took the Bhagavatam, Gadada Pandit's Bhagavatam, and he opened it. And the whole pages were smudged. He couldn't read a thing. He said, I can't read anything. Gadada Pandit, when he would read Bhagavatam, he would cry profuse tears of ecstasy flowing from his eyes, such that those tears completely blotched the whole manuscript. Gadada Pandit said, sorry. Oh. He said, you'll have to go to Sri Kanda and get a copy of the Bhagavatam made and then come back. So anyway, Srinivasacharya went to Sri Kanda. He got a copy. He came back. And just before he came back, he got the news. Gadada Pandit has left the world. Anyway, the story of Srinivasacharya's transcendental misfortune goes on longer, but we won't recite that now. Suffice it to say, for this time, Gadada Pandit's manuscript was blotched, rendered unreadable because of his tears of ecstasy. I mean, the closest we get to that is when we go on Sankirtan and there's a thunderstorm and all the books get wet. And then you give someone a book and the ink's not, you know, running. I mean, more than that, we haven't experienced that kind of taste for the Bhagavatam. Think about King Kulasekara, who was in Trivandrum, the great Alva, who was reading Ramayana. His ministers were reading Ramayana to him, Valmiki Ramayana. One day they were reading the pastime. Shurpanaka, she wants to marry Ram. And then she realizes that Sita is the obstacle. So then Shurpanaka goes to attack Sita. And then Ram tells Lakshman, sort her out. So then Lakshman jumps on the scene and, you know, does a quick job and chops off her ears and nose. And then she runs away. She runs away and then calls Kara and Dushan and says, you know, they've done this to me. What are you going to do about it now? So then Kara and Dushan, who are Maharathis, I mean, powerful guys, with 14,000 soldiers, they come to the area of Panchavati, Nasik, to lay siege on Lord Ram. So Kulasekara is hearing this whole thing. And as soon as he hears that the armies are coming to Panchavati to attack Ram, he gets up and he says, everyone, get the armies together. We got to march. We got to go to Panchavati to help Ram. Because he's living in the Ramayana. Everyone's thinking, what's happening? This is just the Ramayana. It's just a story. He's saying, no, gather all the armies. Gather all. So what to do? He's the king. They gather all the armies. They're thinking, we're going to go there, but nothing's happening. So then one of the ministers, he gets the idea, send an advance party. So they send an advance party, and then the party comes back, and then they say, look, the advance party has gone, and then they bring the advance party to Kulasekara, and they say, the advance party is saying, it's all okay now, it's all okay. So then he says, oh, okay. All right, everyone then just relax. And then the minister says to the reciter, hey, you now make sure what kind of pastimes you're reciting. You be careful. You just be careful, you know. This person is living in these books. This is a whole world. These books are a whole world. Sanatan Goswami wanted to read the Bhagavatam. He had such a desire. Then one day in a dream, he dreamt that a Brahmana boy gave him the Bhagavatam. And then he woke up. And then he looked around and there was no Bhagavatam. And he thought, oh no, it was only a dream. I thought I had the Bhagavatam, but it was only a dream. And that very day, a Brahmana boy indeed came to him and gave him the Bhagavatam. And from that very day, Sanatan Goswami said, Madeka bando mad sangin, madguro man mahadhana, man nishtaraka mad bhagya, madananda namostute. He said, the Bhagavatam, Madeka bandhu, this is my only friend. Mat sangin, the Bhagavatam, this is my constant companion. Madhbhagya, this book is my greatest fortune. Manishtaraka, this book is what is elevating me at all times. Madananda, this book is the only source of my happiness. Man Namostute, I offer my respects to these books again and again and again. He had such a relationship with these books. So that is the great opportunity of the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, that if we're able to really read them deeply in the right way, then they give us a whole another world to live in. This world is a difficult place to live in, isn't it? Life is full of so many difficulties, so many ups and downs, so much unpredictability, constant change. Everything is changing. Everything changes. Your fortunes change, your relationships change, people come in and out of your life. Anything can happen. But these books anchor us to a different reality, an eternal reality, a reality which is never changing, and a reality in which selflessness and pure love is the modus operandi. And if we're able to read deeply, then we can also enter that world. So today I just wanted to offer some words. I have not entered into this world, but for my own purification, I'm speaking about this. And because this was also the message of Srila Prabhupada, who delivered us the Bhagavatam. If we read, but we don't read with association. If we read, but we don't read with a sense of application. If we read, but we don't read with the spirit of amplification, then we may well read, but we will not be able to read with absorption. And therefore, if we're able to follow this methodology of the Bhagavatam that has been given to us by the Acharyas, then we can really get something so beautiful and so amazing and so inspiring every time we open the pages of these books. We have these books everywhere now, isn't it? Go to people's homes, you got the small version of the Bhagavatam, you got the big version books, you got the all-in-one version books, you got the deluxe version books, you got the books on your iPad, you got the books on your iPhone, you got the books on your laptop, you got the books on your e-reader. But are we making time to really read the books, to really enter that world, and to really live with Krishna through the Bhagavatam? Because Prabhupada says, if you listen to the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, you will see Krishna manifested on every single page. So we're hoping that one day, by your blessings, we can enter into that kind of experience of reading. So thank you very much. Just some words I wanted to share with everyone. If there's any corrections, many senior Vaishnavas are here, any corrections or comments,